From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will continue a series on the lives and ministries of the Apostles of Christ. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to enjoy a brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening, a collection by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and that will be followed by some Christ-honoring sacred music.
This morning's text comes from Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is the work of God. It is He alone who quickens the soul dead in trespasses and sins, and it is He also who maintains the soul in spiritual life. He is both Alpha and Omega. Salvation is of the Lord. If I am prayerful, God makes me prayerful. If I have graces, they are God's gifts to me. If I hold on in a consistent life, it is because He upholds me with His own hand. I do nothing whatever towards my own preservation, except what God Himself first does in me. Whatever I have, all of my goodness is of the Lord alone. Wherein I sin, that is my own. But wherein I act rightly, that is of God, wholly and completely. If I have repulsed a spiritual enemy, the Lord's strength nerved my arm. Do I live before men a consecrated life? It is not I, but Christ who liveth in me. Am I sanctified? I did not cleanse myself. God's Holy Spirit sanctifies me. Am I weaned from the world? I am weaned by God's chastisement sanctified to my good. Do I grow in knowledge? The great instructor teaches me. All my jewels were fashioned by heavenly art. I find in God all that I want, but I find in myself nothing but sin and misery. He only is my rock and my salvation. Do I feed on the Word? That Word would be no food for me unless the Lord made it food for my soul and helped me to feed upon it. Do I live on the manna which comes down from heaven? What is that manna but Jesus Christ Himself incarnate, whose body and whose blood I eat and drink? Am I continually receiving fresh increase of strength? Where do I gather my might? My help cometh from heaven's hills. Without Jesus, I can do nothing. As a branch cannot bring forth fruit except it abide in the vine, no more can I except I abide in Him. What Jonah learned in the great deep, let me learn this morning in my closet. Salvation is of the Lord.
Christ offered me God's grace.
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life and death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see the elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of Him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8 made out to Let the Bible Speak. Send it to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the lives of the apostles. In the course of the messages, he's presenting a biographical sketch of each apostle, examining each man's background, his character, and the particular way in which the Lord used him to fill the role which God had for him. Having first looked at Peter, Dr. Cairns is dealing with Peter's brother Andrew. How appropriate this is, for it was Andrew who brought Peter to Christ. Although scripture references to Andrew are relatively few, there is enough to reveal a man who was, first of all, saved. Apparently, Andrew had been following the ministry of John the Baptist, and he heard John's exclamation, looking at Christ, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Leaving all else behind, Andrew gave his heart and life to Christ, for on that day his life really began. Now here is Dr. Cairns with the next portion of a message called Andrew, Saint and Soul Winner.
The actual mentions of Andrew are few. He's mentioned in John 6 in connection with the feeding of the 5,000 when he brought the little boy with his lunch packet to Christ. Then he's mentioned in John 12 when the Greeks came up to the feast saying we would see Jesus. Philip brought them to Andrew, and Andrew on to Christ. The last two references to Andrew, I think, are significant. In Mark 13, verse 3, we find him with Peter, James, and John. Here are the first four disciples. They had heard Christ in the temple as he gave them his great scheme of things to the end of the age. when he gave them his great address on prophecy. Now in the Mount of Olives, they draw near to the Savior, and they get alone with him, and they ask him two vital questions, wanting to know what would be the sign of his coming and when these things would be. It's a very interesting picture of Andrew and of these three other men. Having got some information, they get alone with Christ, and they're yearning for a deep insight into the coming of the Lord. Then the last reference to Andrew is in Acts chapter 1 and verse 13, where you have him in the upper room with the other disciples, prayerfully awaiting the promised coming of the Holy Ghost. As far as Scripture is concerned, there ends the biography of Andrew. However, Andrew's life didn't end with Acts chapter 1. It went on. When the disciples, the apostles, finally went out with the gospel beyond Jerusalem. At first they stayed in Jerusalem, and the others scattered abroad. But the evidence would be that ultimately they also went much further afield. And when they went out, Andrew, according to the ancient histories of the church, certainly went here and there with the gospel. There are marks of him in Scythia, in Greece, in Thrace, in Asia Minor. Indeed, it is said that it was Andrew who established the work of God in the city of Constantinople. And it is said that when he finally reached the city of Patrae in Achaia, he was brutally put to death. The reason being that Aegeus, the proconsul, was so maddened by his preaching that he commanded him to bow down and do sacrifice to heathen idols. And when Andrew refused, the history is that he was brutally scourged and then crucified. And instead of being nailed to the cross, he was bound to it by ropes. And as happened in many cases of crucifixion, it is said that his body hung there for 2 days, broken, bleeding, and in agony. And it is said that to the end, to the last breath that he had, he was still exhorting men to come to Christ. And though the year is unknown, the date of November 30th was the day, according to the ancient histories of the church, that Andrew went to be with Christ. In a way, you know, that final scene sounds to me very like Andrew. For what we know of him marks him as a man whose greatest desire was just to point others to Christ. I want very simply tonight, very briefly, to think of Andrew, saint and soul winner. By the way, the order is important. You've got to be saved first before you start pointing others to Christ. What a tragedy to point others to Christ and go to hell yourself. What a folly to imagine that you're engaged in the work of God while there's no work of God in you. So let me remark first that Andrew was a saved man. Now, I've already indicated how he was saved. We have read that in John chapter 1. He came under the preaching of one of the greatest preachers the world has ever seen. What a privilege it was to listen to John the Baptist. John was a man. He was outside the camp. The religious establishment didn't like him. They were dead scared of him. But if they could have done away with him, they would gladly have done so. But there he was, a lonely man, taking a stand for God, preaching the gospel with clarity. Man, how he denounced the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. How he warned of the wrath to come. But the pinnacle, the topmost part of his message, was, "Behold the Lamb of God." And when Andrew heard that, thank God it got through to his heart. and he received Christ, he turned to the Savior immediately. And he didn't turn in any trifling fashion. We have read his question. When Jesus said, "What seek you? What are you looking for?" As I've indicated, many others would have said, "We're looking for a captain. We're looking for somebody to lead a revolt in Israel. What are you looking for?" Andrew went right to the heart of the matter and he said, "Rabbi, where dwellest thou?" In other words, my desire, having learned that you're the Lamb of God, my desire is to dwell with Christ. That's my desire. Oh, there's no trifling here. That day the Lord Jesus says, "Come." For thank God, where there's a seeking sinner, there's always a welcoming Savior. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." There's never an Andrew who's turned away. There's never a soul who's seeking Christ that's ever disappointed. Andrew says, "Where dwellest thou? Come and see." And he abode or dwelt that day with Christ. That's where the real life of Andrew begins, the day he met with Christ. Your life didn't really begin the day you were born. Of course, in a way, biological life started. But your life was really death. What the world calls life is death. It's an existence in separation from God. It's an existence in sin. It's an existence of darkness, of alienation, of misery. It's an existence now in the anteroom to a lost hell. That's existence. That's not life. Life begins the moment you meet with Christ. And if you come into this meeting tonight existing in alienation from God, far away from the Savior, I trust that you'll hear the message of John the Baptist as Andrew heard it, and behold the Lamb of God. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. The hymn writer put it well, "There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for you. Just look." Just as the Israelites poisoned in the Old Testament with those biting snakes, looked at the brazen serpent, and in looking they lived. So John the Baptist says, "Look to the Lamb of God." That's the message that brought Andrew life. It's the message that will bring you life. Andrew was saved by looking to the Lamb. You'll find that when he got saved, he went on with God and he was strengthened in the faith. When the Lord called, he left all to follow Christ. I don't believe in any salvation that does not make Christ the King of your life. I don't believe that there's any faith where there's no genuine repentance. And I don't believe there's any repentance where Jesus Christ is not acknowledged as Lord. We are not perfect even in our acknowledgement of Christ. We are not perfect in our following of Christ. But there's one thing that you'll find in the heart of every man who has saving faith in Christ. Though he doesn't know what all is involved, he wants Christ as his Lord, as his Master, as his King, as his leader. He wants Christ to be in control. He left all to follow Christ. And he learned in deep personal fellowship with Christ. You and I cannot go to the Mount of Olives and sit there at the feet of Jesus. But we can go far higher and we can go to a far better place. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, and there we can meet with the Savior. There's a lot to be said for Christian education. There's a lot to be said for teaching in school and in church. But I want to tell you, if the only teaching you ever get, if the only learning you ever obtain is out of a book or out of somebody else's mouth, you're yet a fool. You've learned nothing. There's an awful lot of educated idiots running around. We have them in the pulpit. All they know of Christ they've read in a book. But getting alone with the Lord, having that time of personal fellowship with Christ, wherein He opens the book, He opens the heart, and you know, He's the only one can do both of those and synchronize the two activities. My, what a joy when He opens the book and He opens the heart and He brings the truth of the book right into the heart. That's real education. Nothing else matters beside it. There's nothing can take its place. That's the kind of education that Andrew had. That's what fitted him for the service of the Savior. That's what made him a man of God. That time of learning in the presence and in the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Man, if you're a Christian tonight, I trust that you'll learn this from Andrew and indeed from all the disciples of Jesus Christ, that your education has only begun. I remember when I was leaving high school, the principal of the school lined up all the characters who were leaving. No, he didn't have any particularly big smile on his face to get rid of me, but he lined us all up and came up and shook hands with us all and gave us a little word of advice for the life that was ahead of us. Some people were going to college, some were going into business, some were going I don't know where. Well, what he had to say was, as he shook hands, "Don't think you've got educated. We have only brought you to the place where you can begin to be educated." And he was right. When I finished studies in the Theological Hall of the Free Church and was ordained to the ministry and let loose to look after a church, of course I'd been doing that ever since I was a student of 3 months, but again I recognized you've not been educated. You've just been brought to the place where the Lord can begin to educate you. And the real education takes place when you get alone with God. And when God starts taking a dealing with your heart.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.